Okay, we're continuing in our study of the family and dusty reality, and we continue to look at education. We started looking at this last time. And we said last time that true education is made up of two things, and that is right thinking and right acting, which means that our focus when educating our children should be upon their character for the purpose of dominion. That's what we're trying to get. The ultimate goal remains the same one that we started off this series with, which is dominion, and so everything we're doing is toward that end. So education is pretty much reduced in our day to acquiring information, and very little, if anything, of real character is emphasized. For example, if somebody shows you a straight A's report card, there's not usually anything on there that shows evidence of what the real character is like. You might say, well, maybe they're a hard worker, but that doesn't even prove it, because sometimes a student just cruises through straight A's. So it doesn't reveal any real character. So that's not an important aspect in the present thinking of people's minds with respect to education, whereas with us, it should be very important. I said last time that focusing upon instilling godly character must be primary. And then I try to reduce that down, because character is a very broad subject. It has many topics that you could get lost in. I reduced that down to three things which you could focus upon and lay the foundation from which to build these other qualities. And that was honor, which we pretty much covered last time, hard work and humility. And we looked at honor last time and saw that the fundamental reason for being diligent in making sure our children honor our word and authority is because this is how they are trained to honor God's word and authority. And we saw that when we allow children to dishonor us and disregard the importance of our words, we are giving them a theological lesson that God's authority and authority structures do not have to be respected if they don't feel like doing that. So it becomes an option thing. If you feel like respecting God and His authority structures, do it. If not, choose what you want to do. So character is doing what is right even when it goes against your feelings and even when it will hurt you. So we live by and stand upon principle, and character is what conforms to principle, and it lives by that word. We don't live by the latest Gallup poll, what is the latest popular fad that we have, but principle is here. So that's really what we're aiming to try and instill and develop. And thus, as we conclude our brief look at honor, I just want to bring to your attention the importance of truth. That is, for honoring truth. To be honorable includes having a high regard for truth. In this life, the constant temptation is to play it loose with the truth in order to protect your behind. You know, because this is just looking, it's not going to work out good for me. Something is not going to work to my advantage, and therefore I can now become loose with the truth. I can either dance around it, or I can become casual with where the lines are and blur the issue and double speak, but become loose with it because we are trying to protect ourselves in some way. When we do that, though, we're revealing our true theology. What are we revealing when we do that? Theologically, what are we saying? We're revealing what we believe about God, about how we think He views truth, about what we think He actually sees and cares about. So we're revealing all those things by the way we are acting in that kind of a circumstance, as well as now also showing, deciding and saying, you know, I know what is the best way to arrive at this end. And it's according to my pragmatic decisions that the best is going to come out of this. We don't believe that, no, God says this is the path, even when you don't know where you're going. This is the path you stay upon. But that takes principle and character to do that. So the matter of honoring truth and truth-telling must not be seen as a side issue in the training of our children, must never be seen as a side issue in the constant sanctification of our own hearts, as we are trying to stay close to the truth and conform ourselves to that truth. So it's a serious matter to fudge the truth. It can take time to deal with a situation where there's lies and deception going on. That kind of gets into a real murky area, and sometimes it really does take time to get in there. But as parents and as future parents, you need to be thinking, well, that's got to take my effort, and I've got to get in there and sort this out, because truth is a critical thing that I need, and I need to underline that by showing how important it is, that lying does not pay. Because it undermines, and when we allow that to continue in our children, we undermine honor, we undermine character. So dealing with untruth is very inconvenient most of the time. It is an important lesson in order for our children to learn to honor God. So godly character means honoring truth above life and well-being. And that's not learned in an afternoon, as we honor truth above our lives, above our well-being. And that's something that we need to learn and bury deep within our hearts. So are there any comments on that aspect as we finish this section on honoring, as we move on to the next of the three topics under education and character? Right, when you're trying to define truth, you mustn't be defining your own ethic, because you're going to interpret it through cloudy vision. with respect to, well, where does the line exactly go here? And it usually falls on the side that is in our favor and is better for us. So once again, that forces us back to Scripture. How do we know any aspect of what is truly right and honorable? And then we just bow to that and we submit to that by faith and say, Lord, I don't know where this path is going to lead me, but this is the truth, and therefore I stand on that, and I'm trusting that you're going to work it out. Whether it's a Daniel saying, I can't bow, there's a principle, this is the truth, I know where I stand, and so I can't bow to this image, I can't, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel saying, I can't stop praying, I can't not pray to my God. And those are very obvious, but you know, in our lives, many times the details are less obvious than that. The second aspect of character, the character quality we are seeking to establish in not only our lives, but the lives of our children, is hard work. Hard work or work was not introduced as a consequence of the fall. It pre-existed the fall. It was intended from the beginning as a means by which God's dominion would be exercised over creation. So man was created and clearly given work to do in the garden before the fall. Now the fall increased the difficulty and the hardships of carrying out this work, but the work was there from the beginning. That was what man was called to do. And God has always had this as his plan for his children. He made us to work. And so we realize that what arises from the fall is idleness and laziness, not work. And society's mindset is paradise. How do they present paradise? A deliverance from work. Paradise is always presented as the idyllic setting on this island, and or whatever is your optimum of, and it's the deliverance of work, or you've got these people serving you. Rome's concept of arriving at the ultimate civilization was that they did no work. The Roman citizens had brought in countless slaves to do all the work for them, and they just wanted to have their Colosseum parties, and those Colosseum fairs could go on for literally months, and they would just every single day would be feasting and watching these debauched acts and violence, and this was how they carried out their life, because that was deliverance from work. So we realize it's paganism that has dominated their thinking rather than Scripture. So we mustn't, as Christians, think that deliverance from work is the ultimate that we are looking for. And what is the purpose ultimately of work in God's mind? The ultimate goal is, once again, dominion. That's why he put us here. And so that's how we see it. That's the purpose of work. That's why it's given to us. So dominion has purpose and focus. We're not meant to work hard merely for the sake of hard work. Vital to the call of dominion is the tool of hard work. So that's why we're working hard. That's why we are laboring, is unto this dominion. This is what my goal is. This is where I'm trying to arrive at. There's no real kingdom advancement without hard work. We need to realize that. There's none. It doesn't just happen. And God has made it like that for his own purposes, and I think there's great wisdom in it when you unpack it. I can remember Francis Schaeffer talking in one of his books about the fact that, you know, in the olden days, these ladies would all have to come to the well to draw water out, and they do their washing right by the well, and they have this strenuous kind of labor. And then we get all these modernized tools and stuff, and now it's just time for play and flit around, so that it's very unproductive in the sense of accomplishing anything. So it wasn't really doing anything advancing in the kingdom's way. We're making time for other frivolous things. I'm not saying we should go back to well washing. I don't recommend that at all, but I'm just saying sometimes we have in our mindset that to be delivered from work is the goal that we should be aiming at, and that should never be the goal. So if the kingdom advancement or dominion is in our sights as the goal toward which we and our children are aimed, then the importance of hard work becomes clear. So you just need to read Proverbs and see all the exhortations against laziness and all the exhortations to work hard, and you suddenly realize, wow, this is kind of central to God's plan. And you'll be convinced as you look at that this is an important subject and also something that people struggle to do. Our flesh tends towards laziness. That's what it does. So I've made a handout which just has, on the one side it has, just from Proverbs, there's many other passages that could be used, verses about work. On the other side has the verses about laziness that Proverbs speaks about. Okay, so we're not going to read through all of these. I just thought I'd print it out because it's a good thing to read through when you have some time. Just to underline in your mind, on the work side, the first one, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. As much we can learn when guided and submitted to Scripture from nature and how God has set up the world to function around us. Just when you have some time, you can read through those two pages about work and laziness and see that this is an important topic. Then if someone else wants to raise one of the verses in there that catches their eye. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. We don't usually equate somebody who goes around destroying things and somebody who's slothful. The scriptures puts them in the same camp, the same category. Okay, so what is a sign of good character? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, as Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says. And that goes on, that verse carries on, and it says, "For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going." So whatever you're going to do while you have life, do it with your might, because it's not going to continue when you go to the grave. Paul put it slightly differently in Colossians 3 verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So remember, the goal of hard work is dominion. It's not self. We're not working hard to build an empire. Many today believe the goal of work is so that they can play. But that's because they have no vision for the kingdom. There's a balance, and you have to work out for yourself, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's no category that you can receive, and you don't want to be doing it for other people. You want to be doing it for yourself as to what that looks like and how it should be carried out. Knowing that there's a balance in there, as we're supposed to rest, there's a place for enjoying yourself, there's a place for having fun times and those kinds of things. So there's always the balance, and you need to keep that balance. But at the forefront of our minds, we need to realize hard work is a critical aspect of character, and it's a critical aspect of true education, learning how to do that. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We don't earn it, we work it out, and that's an important thing to do. But we see that time is valuable. That is what Ecclesiastes, the verse I read, Ecclesiastes 9:10, is getting at. Because it shows that work is not merely so we can clothe and feed ourselves, because a time is coming, it says, when we can no longer work. Now, when I die, it's irrelevant. Working hard is merely meant for clothing and feeding myself, just to kind of get by. Then that verse doesn't make much sense. We realize he's saying a cutoff time is coming. Jesus said something similar, and he said, "Work while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work." And so you realize there's kingdom-related principles here, that there's kingdom work that needs to be done. We all have a very limited amount of time to accomplish those goals, and therefore work while you're able to, because the time is coming when that work is no longer possible to be done. And that's kingdom-focused stuff. And so that's what Ecclesiastes 9:10 is pointing us to. So it has to be kingdom work it's referring to there. The time we have to be involved in this work of God is the time we have before death. So our time is limited on this earth, and this is vital that we use what we have in the best possible way. We need to do the mundane aspects of life, providing for our daily needs and the regular chores that go into such maintenance. But the goal should be to redeem the time, as Ephesians 5 and verse 16 says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Meaning that there's constant threat and challenge against time. There's a constant threat and challenge for us to be using that time productively and effectively for the kingdom. So because time is precious, we need to treat it as such. So precious in what way? It's precious for kingdom work. Because when I die, as far as needing to supply my clothing and supply my food is irrelevant, it's gone. But I need to work while it is day, or while I have the ability, because that time is going to go. And when our heart is focused on the kingdom, we redeem the time for that. Most people are seeking to redeem time in some way. In Africa, you don't get the same urgency as you get in the United States, people redeeming time. In Africa, you'll get to a bus stop and say, you know, what time is the bus coming? And they'll say, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Okay, so that's a different concept of time. But in America, you'll see people are constantly redeeming the time. But for the most part, they're redeeming it for what? Their own ends. It's to squander it somewhere else. You know, everybody wants to get on the plane first. Everyone wants to get off the plane first. Everyone's trying to get through that door first, and then they're trying to get out of that door first. They're moving, you know, they're on the roads, so they want to get to this place first and get the closest parking space. And there's this constant attempt to redeem time. But the purpose is because they have this own self-serving, self-pleasure agenda that they want to pour this time into. Now, then they want to squander it in that way. So they're doing it for the wrong ends. Whereas we should be redeeming time for the kingdom ends. You need to be aware of that. That there is the consciousness, and I believe it comes from the Christian heritage in the United States, that there's this awareness that time is precious. But what's happened, the focus has now shifted from kingdom and productivity in that way to pleasure and serving our own lusts and hedonism. Paul adds to this exhortation about redeeming time, for saying, for the days are evil. There are many ways that we can be distracted and deceived with respect to the use of our time. So for what purpose has the Lord given us X number of years? It's for his kingdom, it's for dominion. He knows our days are numbered, and he's given us only a limited amount of time when we compare it to eternity. And he said, okay, this is the kind of time you have. And that's what it's for dominion work. So that must be the goal for which we redeem time. And this is a vital component of true education. It's not something that you just kind of learn overnight, and it's something that we need to realize, okay, how can I bring the importance of time into the mindset and understanding of my family? Because unless they can realize that time is valuable, then they're not going to even desire to redeem it. If, you know, cut lawn is, if it's valuable, then somebody's going to gather it up afterwards and put it in a safe place. But if it's not, it's just left out there and that's it, because it's not valuable. So we got to be training and seeking ways to instill, yes, time really is valuable and important, and we need to redeem it. So if we train our children to redeem time by working hard and working wisely, and the goal for that is so that they can be effective and productive in the kingdom. That's the goal, because that's the thing we're trying to advance. And we realize the way we can do that is with limited amount of time that we have, but this is the objective that we have to use. And if we can do that, we're giving them a good education, very good education. So from the dusty perspective, vital to teaching the godly characteristics of hard work and redeeming the time, it means, okay, now I'm going to try and, one way you try and apply that is responsibility and routine. How do I communicate the value of time? So responsibility and routine are very critical in that understanding and communication. You see, we live in a day and we're impacted by, whether we acknowledge it or not, we're impacted by the prevailing philosophies of the age. And constantly we're taken captive by those without even realizing it. Because we live in a day where the idea that order came out of chaos and still comes out of chaos is rife. It's everywhere. That's where order comes out of, is chaos. It's where life came from. That's how the best advancement is for the world. So this is the evolutionary mindset. Random, unplanned existence can produce beauty, structure, and order. Can produce these things. Can produce what we find in this world. However, creation all around us testifies to God's ordained routines. Sunrise, sunset. It regularly goes through this routine. You know it's there. It works. The amount of hours in every day. We know it's there. It's regular. The one follows the next. The seasons with your summer and autumn, winter, spring. What if next week suddenly went to midwinter and stayed like that for 4 months? Chaos. Literally chaos. All kinds of chaos. The road works will be messed up. Just think on the knock-on effects of the planning, because people are planning according to this predictable routine that it has set up and working in terms of it. Suddenly you take that and throw it into disarray and you have chaos. Do you know that a book can get lost on the shelves in a library? Libraries lose books in their library. The book's lost. You won't find it. Take it out from here. You won't put it over there. You won't find that book. By chance, somebody might come across it and be kind enough to go and put it back, or they might hire somebody to make sure every number is... I know when I move house and I set up my library, because you've got different space and different sizes and shapes of where your books are, it takes me a long time until I've got my books in a way where I can truly be effective, where I know where the books are. I'm not spending 5 or 10 minutes looking for a book. I want to check one fact and I can't find the book, and I spend 10 minutes looking for the book because I haven't yet got my books in the way I like to have them. If you're a mechanic or a builder, you'd be the same. If you're spending 10 minutes looking for that tool, you're thinking, man, yeah, doesn't have its place. That's just teaching us value, that because that's redeeming time. When you're having an order and a structure like that, if you've got a tool chest that's just scattered around the house, think, okay, let me go and find that screwdriver. I've got a 2-minute job with a screwdriver and a 15-minute hunt. And it would have taken me 35 seconds to put it back in the right place. But no, I'm just going to put it here. I had a friend, he had a great memory, so the system worked for him. He was a Bible teacher, and I was at his house, and the chairs in the lounge were kind of all pushed in like this, because right around the wall was just piles of stuff. And so we were rushing off to go and do a Bible study that he was leading, and they were working through a particular book. He said, "Where's that book?" So he sat down in his chair. Okay, he remembered tossing it over here. So he went through what he remembered doing. Well, there it was. He found his books. He had a good memory, so the system worked. To my mind, you've got potential there for great waste of time and breaking down of a system as far as effectiveness. Now, why try and have an ordered situation? It's for kingdom. It's for the dominion. It's for that purpose. And so when you understand that, you say, okay, this is good. This is why I'm doing it, and this is how I can go about and do it. Once we understand the importance of time and what the goal is, now it's not just a silly rule that, you know, everything should have a place and everything should be in its place. That's not a silly rule anymore. Now it's the kind of thing, there's a purpose behind it. And it's a dominion purpose. Our natural tendency is toward disorder. Thus our minds need to be renewed about how we truly redeem time and thus can be effective for the kingdom. You see, without routine, life will be shaped by emotions and crisis. Emotions and crisis. I don't feel like doing that today. Well, don't do it. But that's not training character. It's not training what real life is, where real effectiveness in life is going to be. And then you've got the emotion side. Okay, well, that's, we move by emotions. And then the other thing is, because you move by emotions, then suddenly crises come upon you. And now there's a flat spin. Everybody's wheels are spinning and there's chaos as you're trying to resolve this crisis in a situation where there shouldn't be a crisis here. Life can have crises, and that's things you have to deal with. But when they're self-created, that is something that can be avoided. And that kind of context from the emotional to the crisis situation doesn't develop the character that God is wanting us to have and to instill in the future generations. Because it's failing to produce the godly impact for the kingdom. So our wives have a massive amount of hands-on stuff with the family. But they tend to be more emotional. And so the reins of the direction, although they've got a lot of time and management, the reins of how that should look should not be in their hands. Should definitely be in the hands of the husband, who's helping to guide and instruct. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the reins and the direction and what this looks like. Because otherwise, you're going to be constantly going in and out of this emotional to crisis management. So therefore, the husband needs to set the direction, get his wife to implement his will with respect to the responsibilities and routines. Now, if you discuss it and you work through it together as a team, it needs to be coming down from the husband. So it's not an emotional crisis kind of context that flows into it. And sometimes the husband needs to learn how to be, maybe he's the one who's more kind of, well, who cares? And so then he's got to realize that this is his responsibility. And because the goal is godly character, and the purpose of godly character is effectiveness for the kingdom, which is dominion. So that's why we do it. And so that's the objective and goal. So the only way to truly redeem the time is to have structure and order, routines and responsibilities, so that the family might be more effective in its work of dominion. You see, without routines and clear kingdom-focused goals, the family will function in a survival mode, and it will be governed by the next crisis. What's the next crisis that hits? Bam. All attention is on that. And it's the frantic and the frantic time-wasting of that crisis. Whatever you can, maybe you can think of a crisis. And it's a small thing can turn into a crisis, depending on the time factor that's now put upon you, or whatever the dynamics are that are laid upon you. It turns into something that is much bigger than it should be. And when you're focused on crisis, you know what's getting neglected? The important things. Important things get neglected and tossed out. There's just no time for them. Because time has been chewed up and swallowed through these issues. So you realize, you know, there's certain things that are just not getting onto the plate now because time management has been... So routines are definitely helpful in that, and responsibilities. These things, when there's routine and responsibility, it's one of the ways you teach the value of time. Because there's this structure and one thing follows the next, and okay, well, I've run out of time because I squandered it over here. But if there's no routine, then everything just evolves and it just kind of shapes and moves until you fit into whatever you want to fit into. So you're teaching the value of time and the quality of being dependable, and you do that with routines and responsibilities. So a child from a very young age can already be given responsibilities. Think of a little child who's able to walk, just started to walk, and you change their diaper. You can make it the absolute responsibility. When I change your diaper, you're going to take that diaper and put it in the garbage. I'm going to walk with you and you're going to do that. And it's not just when it's a game and, oh, that was fun, I enjoyed it the first time. This is now your responsibility. And they realize, as they see a diaper, I know my responsibility. I need to pick that up. I need to put it. And there's many, and that's just starting from a young age and building up, giving appropriate and applicable responsibilities where they're really carrying it. They're really learning that they need to do that. The routine's slightly different, but routine is an important thing. You have to think through in your own dynamics, your own family, how routine should look and what this can be and how it can work out. Critical point where they're actually carrying the responsibility. You see, because a responsibility is not just a gopher task. You know what a gopher task is? You're just sending commands. Okay, I need somebody to do that. Go and do it. I need somebody to do that. Those are gophers. They're just running in every which way. You want to pass on responsibility. So they're assuming something, and the weight of that responsibility falls upon their shoulders. They're going to do that. They're going to see it through. People are depending upon them that this is done. And they're not going to get away from doing that thing until it's accomplished. obviously the circumstances, you weigh them up, but just from squandering time, there's no escaping from that responsibility. It's your responsibility, and you're learning that life requires there to be responsibilities and that you need to feel the weight of what true responsibilities are. So they are totally responsible to do that on a regular basis, and others are depending upon them. So when somebody's given that responsibility, then they carry it, and there's no safety net. There's no, well, I kind of got sidetracked. Well, we're all stranded now. And it's a matter of, you know, you don't, once again, we don't just go in and institute something that's massive. If it's a whole new concept, you go with the baby steps and implement things and bring it about. But that's the goal, and that's what you're trying to accomplish. And so sometimes it can take a long time to get to a position that you want to arrive at, but that's the goal you're aiming at, and this is the reason you're aiming at it, which is dominion and effectiveness for the kingdom. So routines help to keep order both with the stuff we have and with the time we've been given. All those are vital things. We've got stuff, those are blessings from the Lord God's given us, and He's given us time. And together those things need to be used productively. And when we do that, then we allow, or we make it possible for the important things to be included in our lives. The important things that we want to focus on can be focused upon, as opposed to dealing with crises for the most part. And the structure and the routine then give a framework and a foundation for being able to provide a consistent hard work. From that foundation, you launch out and you can accomplish these things. So even if you live alone, routines will help you keep focused on the track that you're on. And that track is what? Dominion, effectiveness for the kingdom. That's what it's about. So you have routine, you have a life, and then when you put more people into one place, you realize the need, the need for structure and order and routine, because you've got all these different dynamics and people in the same space. The need for routine is much more noticeable when you have that, more people. But if you're going to function as a family and not as an atomistic individuals living your own lives, then those things become necessary. There's routine. Well, when you want to grab something to eat, you just grab it. Suddenly you've got chaos. I'm not saying you can never have that situation. Hey, everyone's on their own today, for whatever reason. But if that mustn't be the pattern of how we live our lives. So we want routines and responsibilities, so that those responsibilities are clearly defined. And that is for the purpose of training character and being effective in the kingdom, which is a critical component of education, being effective in this way for God and His kingdom.